Matthew chapter 3. The message today is the declarations of the voice of God concerning His Son. I want to read several passages having to do with these declarations. And the first one is in Matthew chapter 3. See as I read them, if you are able to see any connection between these verses. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to the Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John would have hindered him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? But Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffereth him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway from the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, and coming upon him, and lo, a voice out of the heavens saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now chapter 12. Verse 15. And Jesus, perceiving it, withdrew from thence, and many followed him. And he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my child, that's what the word is in the Greek, Behold my child, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall declare judgment to the Gentiles. Now chapter 17. Our Savior is on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and Moses and Elijah have appeared unto them. And verse 4 says this, And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, I will make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And lifting up their eyes, they saw no one save Jesus only. Now, Mark chapter 12. Verse 1. And he began to speak unto them in parables. A man planted a vineyard, and set a hedge about it, and digged a pit for the winepress, and put a tower, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into another country. And at the season he sent to the husbandmen a servant, that he might receive from the husbandman of the fruits of the vineyard. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty. And again he sent unto them another servant, and him they wounded in the head and handled shamefully. And he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. he had yet one, a beloved son. He sent him last unto them, saying, they will reverence my son. But those husbandmen said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him, and the inheritance shall be ours. And they took him and killed him, and cast him forth out of the vineyard. What therefore will the Lord of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the husbandmen, and will give the vineyard unto others. That's enough for now. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for what you brought to our attention about your Son. Our God, we've learned in the past weeks his importance to you, and your Son knew that, and you would have us to know it. We remember that the Spirit of God, when he came, his purpose was to take the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. And that is our desire this morning, our Father, that by thy Spirit the things of Christ shall be taken and revealed unto us. We remember that the Greeks said to Philip, sir, we would see Jesus. And that is our desire this morning. So by thy Spirit in our hearts, let us see Jesus. Let us learn of him. Let us, our Father, give him the place in our hearts that you would have him to have. By thy Spirit, enable this to be accomplished. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you have compared the portions I told you about in past weeks with the portions I read to you today, you will understand this, that the portions in John, we have the Son telling us about the Father and what the Father thinks of him. But in the portions I've read to you in Matthew and Mark, we have the Father telling us what he thinks about his Son. In John's Gospel, listen, it's the Savior who says, the Father loveth the Son. The Father loveth the Son. Therefore doth my Father love me. And all those portions, the Father never says that he loves the Son. It's always the Son telling us the Father loves the Son. A remarkable thing. What we have to do in the Gospel of John is to take the word of Jesus for it and say, well, Jesus has told us that his Father loves him and that he loved him before the foundation of the world. We have to take Jesus at his word. But in Matthew and Mark and Luke, it is not the Son telling us that the Father loves him, but it is the Father himself telling us that he loves the Son. And he's telling us that audibly. Listen, in Matthew chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized, it says, the heavens were opened, and a voice came out of heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And in Mark and Luke, it's this way, you are my beloved Son, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. So you say, well, in both those instances, it is the Father talking about his love for the Son. Yes. And if I challenge you to show me in Matthew, Mark, and Luke any place the Son tells us the Father loves him, I do not believe you would be able to produce one reference, except in a parable which tells us that God is declaring with his voice things concerning his Son, both historically and parabolically and theologically, and one other that slips my mind for a moment, but in a fourfold way, God is declaring things concerning his Son, historically and then prophetically. That's it. Historically, prophetically, parabolically, and theologically. A remarkable thing. All of these declarations are concerning his Son, but they are not all the same. Some of them are historical, some are prophetical, some are in parable, and some are theologically declared. But all of them are things the Father has said concerning his Son. Now think for a moment. I said historically. Whenever we have the gospel account telling us something that happened in the life of the Son, that is historical. But also in the Gospels, we have things that did not happen historically, but things that God prophesied in the Old Testament that were going to happen, and so therefore the Son is spoken of prophetically. That's why I read to you in Matthew chapter 12. We read that from Isaiah chapter 42. And there the Father is prophetically telling us about his Son. And even prophetically he says, my beloved. Historically, the Father says, this is my beloved Son. Prophetically, he speaks of his Son as being beloved. And then the other portion I read to you was in Mark chapter 12. And that was in a parable. It said he spoke this parable unto them about the Father having a vineyard and sending all sorts of servants when the time came to gather fruits to collect those fruits. But it says that the ones to whom the servants were sent shamefully treated them, mishandled them, beat them, killed them, rejected them. And then it says this, he had yet one, a beloved son. He said, they will reverence my Son. And he sent him. Think of that. Here is a parable, and in that parable we have the Father speaking. This time it is the Son telling us, but he's telling us what the Father said. And what is so remarkable is this, that he has spoken prophetically, and then he himself has spoken with his own voice, but in the parable, it is God not speaking to men, but it is God speaking to himself. He said, what shall I do? He said, this is what I'm going to do. I have one beloved son. He said, I'm going to send him. They will reverence my Son. Isn't that remarkable? That God speaks to men, and then God speaks prophetically, and then God speaks to himself, and then God speaks theologically. Like this. He says, unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So in Psalm 2, we have the Father speaking concerning the Son, and this voice is spoken to the Son. He says to the Son, thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Now listen to Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And in Psalm 102, and this is profound, that it tells of the Lord Jesus on the cross when he cried out and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in Psalm 102, we have what the Father told his Son as he hung upon the cross. He said, your days are without beginning, and your days are without end. You laid the foundation of the world. They shall come to an end, but you continue. And all of these are references of the Father speaking concerning the Son. Is that not a remarkable thing? That in John's Gospel, it's always the Son telling us about the Father. But in the other Gospels, it is the Father telling us about the Son. And what is so important in these portions is this. In the ones that I read to you, they are audible declarations of the Father concerning his Son. In Matthew chapter 3, it says, the heavens were opened, and a voice came out of heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And that was an audible voice of God, because God speaks to the heart. At times, he speaks by his Spirit in our hearts. But in Matthew 3, it is the audible voice of God, the voice of God that can be heard with the physical ear. And then in Matthew chapter 17, the same thing happens again. When Peter is speaking, the Father interrupts him, but this time not out of heaven, but having come down from heaven in the cloud, he speaks out of the cloud audibly to the ears of Peter, James, and John and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And so the voice of God has spoken prophetically. It is spoken spiritually, but it is spoken also audibly. And that is what is so remarkable. The Lord Jesus, in giving the testimony concerning himself and the witnesses to his person, he speaks about the Father has borne witness concerning me. And the ones to whom he's speaking, he says this, you have never heard his voice nor seen his face. But some men have heard audibly the voice of God and have seen the face of God. You say, some have audibly heard the voice of God. Yes, some over and over and over. But our parents in the garden heard the voice of God. They had sinned, and they had hidden themselves, and they heard the voice of God saying, Adam, where art thou? And then a conversation takes place concerning Adam and God, and they hear his voice. And of all things, we are not told that Abel ever heard the voice of God, but when Cain murdered his brother, God came to Cain and had conversations with him. And so Cain audibly heard the voice of God. But then after that, for some reason, all of these saints, even Enoch, though he may have heard the voice of God, it is not recorded that he ever heard the voice of God. And we go on for ever so many hundreds of years until finally we come to Noah. And then Noah audibly hears the voice of God. And after Noah, the next prominent one that hears the voice of God is Abraham. So you say, well, God does speak audibly to some. Yes. And these are important personages, and there are special reasons why he audibly speaks to them. But he does. To you and me, who have never heard the voice of God, he speaks, but it's in this way. In Psalm 95, he says, oh, today that you would hear my voice, And he repeats that in the book of Hebrews. Oh, that you would hear my voice. He is speaking to the nation of Israel. And concerning the nation of Israel, who among those other than John the Baptist and the Apostle Paul, who among them ever heard the voice of God audibly? You say none of them. And yet God says, oh, that today you would hear my voice. So there is the voice of God by His Spirit speaking in our hearts, and that is just as essential, and it is just as valid as if He spoke to us audibly in our ears. But, as the Savior said to Thomas, there are some who have not seen and believe, and blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. There are some who have not heard, and yet God has spoken to them by His Spirit in their hearts, and they have believed. So let's think of this. Those that have been spoken to on occasions, but then one who was spoken to again and again most in the book of Exodus, Moses. And God spoke to Moses audibly in his ear for 40 years. Isn't that a remarkable thing? And God distinguishes between the way that He spoke to Moses and He revealed Himself to others. He said, Moses, my servant, is different. I speak to him mouth to mouth. And in the book of Exodus, it says, he spoke to God face to face. And so there are some who have been privileged and had great intimacy with God and have heard the voice of God. And you and I are not those individuals unless we are an exceptional one. And God has spoken to us, but I confess I've never heard audibly the voice of God in my ear the way that Moses did, but I still have heard the voice of God, and I've still seen the Lord Jesus, because it says we see Jesus, and not one of us has seen Jesus with our physical eyes, but we have seen Jesus with the spiritual eye of the heart. This is what it says in Peter. Whom, having not seen, you love, and whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so we can see the Lord Jesus with the eyes of our heart, and we can hear the voice of God in our hearts, but the voice that I'm talking about today and the scriptures that I read to you today is the audible voice of God upon the ear of man. And God has made, at times, numbers to hear that voice audibly, and also to see Him with their physical eyes. This is what you'll find in the book of Exodus, that God chose to reveal Himself first to Moses, and then God told Moses to prepare the nation of Israel, and it says that God spoke to them, the people of God, upon Mount Sinai. And it tells us also that they not only heard the voice of God, but it said they saw God. And concerning those special ones that went with Moses, it said they sat and dined and they saw the God of Israel. At times, multitudes have heard the voice of God. But what is so sad is this, that when the nation of Israel, the people, heard the voice of God, they were afraid. And they said to Moses, we do not want to hear the voice of God. You let God speak to you, and then you come and speak to us. Which tells us this. At times, the voice of God was terrifying. At times, the voice of God was omnipotent, and at times the voice of God was so small, so quiet, that it was, as it were, a whisper. That's the way that He spoke to Elijah. It said that finally, after revealing Himself in so many ways, it said He spoke in a still, small voice. But it's the same voice of God that is heard with the ear. And at times when the people hear the voice of God, they are afraid. And at times, Elijah hears the voice of God, and it is a still, small voice. At times, it is the voice of God omnipotently spoken, because we are told, and I wanted to read to you from the book of Haggai, and also where that's quoted in Hebrews, it says that at one time God's voice spoke and it shook the earth. It said, but God is going to speak again and he shall shake the heavens. And so that's the omnipotent voice of God. And so God can speak omnipotently and God can speak softly, quietly, depending upon the occasion. And he spoke mightily at Mount Sinai, but in the coming day he's going to speak omnipotently, and he's going to bring forth new heavens and new earth. And it says of the things that are going to be changed and removed, it says one thing is going to remain, that kingdom of God. And so we are told ever so many things about the audible voice of God. And what is so remarkable is that you would not know the voice of God if you heard it. This was revealed when the Lord was speaking to a little boy named Samuel. And he said, Samuel, Samuel. And his voice sounded so much like old Eli's voice, the high priest, that little Samuel went from his bed into where Eli was, and he said, what did you want? You called me. The voice of God sounded like the voice of Eli, a human being. And so, on various occasions, the voice of God speaks, and you can never say God only speaks one way. At times, God speaks in such a way that the earth is shaken. At other times, he speaks in such a way that a little boy is not afraid to hear the voice of God. And so when he speaks from heaven, he opens the heavens and he speaks from heaven, and he speaks to two. He speaks to the Lord Jesus. He says, you are my beloved Son. I am well pleased in you. But also, and someday I may explain these variations, also, he says to those that are standing there, because there may have been others than John the Baptist, but he says to John the Baptist, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he speaks to Peter, James, and John, and he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And so he speaks in different ways, at different times, to different people, according to what his purpose is in speaking to those individuals. Now, I told you that he speaks historically, and I could have read to you from 2 Peter chapter 1, because Peter is telling us that audibly and historically and geographically, this voice of God could be pinpointed. He said this. He said, God bore witness to the Lord Jesus Christ, his glory, his majesty. That's the voice that spoke. And also he glorified his Son, the Lord Jesus, and designated him as his beloved, only begotten Son. And Peter says, we heard that voice when we were with him in the Holy Mount. So there are two, at least, who could say, the voice of God has spoken concerning his Son. God has acknowledged his Son, and in acknowledging his Son, he has called his Son beloved. And that is the beautiful thing. The many times that God, in acknowledging his Son, pointing out who the Son is, tells us that he loves his son. That's what I told you about in the Gospel of John, when the Lord Jesus told us 7 times that the Father loved him. He says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. John tells us that. And then the Lord Jesus says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life for the sheep. The Lord Jesus says, Father, you love me before the foundation of the world. So in all of these references, 7 times at least, and I probably could show you 9, 7 times the love of the Father for the Son is spoken, and the Son himself speaks of that love in 6 of those 7 times, John the other one. But in the Gospels that I read to you from today, it is not the Lord telling us that his Father loves him, but it is the Father telling us that he loves the Son. Now think of this. Had I read to you from Psalm chapter 2, I'd have shown you historically the various times that the Father spoke concerning his Son. But I'm going to mention this because if I interpret Psalm 2 correctly, the Father speaking says this, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Without explanations, we shall take it for now as the Father speaking on the day that his Son was begotten. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Then, from the time that Jesus Christ came into the world, the Father spoke, and the first voice to whom he spoke was the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, what significance would that be? The Lord Jesus is an infant upon his mother's breast. It simply tells us this, that the Father has said, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And that's quoted again in Hebrews chapter 1. And then, how much the Lord Jesus could comprehend such a thing, because who can understand God manifest in the flesh? But at least we're told that the Father said that. When the Lord Jesus was 12 years old and in the temple, the Father had revealed himself to him and made known his will to him. And when his parents were upset because the Lord Jesus had remained behind and wanted to hear more of the word of God from the wise men of God, the parents said, Son, why have you dealt with us this way? And the Lord Jesus answered, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And so his Father had made known to his Son that there was business to be accomplished, and that business was to be accomplished by his Son. At the age of 12, when he came into the world, the business of God began. And at the age of 12, the Lord Jesus was aware of the Father's business. And then, think now, then from the beginning, at the age of 12, until the age of 30, the Lord Jesus, behind the scenes, was carrying out the business of God. And you do not know what that business was. And I do not know what that business was, other than this. It said that when he was 12, he would have preferred to be in Jerusalem talking about the things of God. But it said, since the scripture said, honor thy father and thy mother, it said he went down to Nazareth with his parents and was subject unto them until the time of his manifestation to Israel. So how little we know of the Lord Jesus, we do know this, that at the age of 12, he tells us that he knows the Father's business, and he has to be about his Father's business. And then, even though he is a carpenter in Nazareth for the next 18 years, still, he is doing the Father's business, because not only in preaching are we doing the will of God. But in living, we are doing the will of God. And that is what the Savior was doing those first 30 years. And concerning those years, the Father first tells us from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What does it mean? That before Jesus had ever preached a sermon, had performed a miracle, had brought healing to the sick, before any of those things were ever done, living in obscurity, working as a carpenter, the Father had his heart rejoice, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that should encourage us, because we're liable to think that unless we are witnessing, preaching, standing before the people, telling about God's Son, that we're not pleasing the Father. But if we have a job and do that job well, then we are pleasing to God, and God is delighted with what we are doing. In fact, so important is it to have a job and to do it well that Paul tells us that if a man will not work, he is not to eat. And it tells us that by well-doing, we should put to silence the foolishness, the things that other men say. And so we can do the will of God as the Lord Jesus did as a child in secular occupations. And then we can do the will of God by worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. So these are some of the references when God the Father audibly spoke from heaven, from the cloud, in various places, to physical ears, the glory of the Son and His love for the Son. Now time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, You have told us that in sundry times, in sundry ways in time past, You've spoken to us in Your Son, and You've spoken to us also about Your Son. You've spoken to us about Him from the very beginning. The seed of the woman shall bruise the head of the serpent. You've spoken concerning Him, our God, prophetically. Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee. Our Father, from the beginning You've spoken of Your Son, and You will speak of Him, our Father, at the end. Thou hast told us, "Ask of Me, and I will give Thee the heathen for Thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for Thy possession." We are thankful for the place that You've given Your Son, and we are thankful that You've loved Him and told us of that love and told Him of that love. And in the coming day, Father, we will see You and Your Son, whom You've loved from eternity. We will see Him in glory, and we will enter into that love. And so we thank You, our Father, that You've not kept silent the things of Your heart, but You've made them known to us in our hearts, but to some, our Father, in an audible way to their ears. So we rejoice in the revelation that You've given to us concerning Your Son. We thank You for Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.